You are listening to Agency Work, the podcast that provides career advice for people who want to work at a creative agency. I am your host, Parker Playstead. Today, I am talking with Claire Cederholm from Profiles Placement Services. Profiles helps Fortune 500 and mid-sized companies find the right people for their creative, marketing, and interactive departments. Claire, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is a little different today because we will be sharing advice about applying for jobs and preparing for interviews. But before we get into that, Claire, please tell us more about Profiles and your role at Profiles.
Sure. So I'm a talent acquisition manager, or recruiter for short, at Profiles. Profiles is a staffing agency. And what we do is we provide workforce solutions to other companies that are hiring. And that's what a staffing agency does, providing workforce solutions to companies that are hiring. What a company will do, what an employer will do, is engage staffing services or a staffing agency like Profiles,
right,
to assist with filling their open positions. And those open positions can vary from a temp position, temporary, seasonal, contract, contract to hire. The contracts can vary for different lengths, or permanent opportunities. Also, staffing agencies will have specialties or niches. There are staffing or recruiting companies that specialize in different areas like healthcare staffing or finance, accounting, engineering, and so on. Staffing agencies can be completely siloed or work across industries in their niche, just like Profiles. Our niche is marketing and creative.
Good. That's helpful. That gives us some insight. Now, one of the things that some people don't realize is the staffing agency is retained by the employer and is working on behalf of the employer trying to find candidates. So can you talk a little bit more about how that relationship works into the employer, the staffing agency, and the candidates?
Yeah, absolutely. So the employer is the client for the staffing agency. The employer or the client, I'm probably going to switch gears and start calling it the client now. The client is ultimately going to pay a staffing agency for the person or candidate that they end up hiring from the staffing agency. So, what I do in my role specifically is I headhunt for candidates with a certain skill set. It'll depend on the company we're recruiting for. It'll depend on the job responsibilities, the requirements of the job. It'll also depend on the team dynamic. We learn about the team dynamic. We learn about the projects they're working on. And then we will identify people, interview them, get them interested, see if they match the budget that we know of, and, present someone to an employer or a client and walk them through the whole process, carry them through the whole process. But at the end of the day, the employer, who is our client, is going to be the one paying us for our service of placing that person in a position.
Right. So you're presenting these candidates. The employer, who is your client, is making the decision about who they're going to hire. You don't really have a role in making that decision. You're just presenting the candidates that you found. And you may have more than one candidate for the same position. It's not always one candidate for each position. So you may end up presenting more than one candidate. You're advocating mm-hmm. these candidates, but you don't have a how do I want to say this? You don't have a winner in the race that you're mm-hmm. betting on, right? You're
sure.
presenting
yeah.
the candidates.
Usually, with some of our clients, we have the exclusive on their positions. We form these relationships with our clients where they'll, come to us first before even posting it on their own website, and ask us, who do we know in marketing, or who do we know that's, an interactive designer? Do we have a candidate, that fits, what they're looking for, responsibility and requirements wise, and fitting the budget? We'll present a few resumes. What we're doing for our client is really taking away that process, that the interview process. They may not have the capacity or the team to really interview candidates or to really comb through resumes. So that's what we're here for, is combing through resumes, identifying the candidates, getting them interested, having those conversations with them, and then presenting only like three resumes over. And then, so yeah, so we'll have, we might have one person that we feel is the strongest option, but there's other things going on behind the scenes at that company that we may not be privy, that information we're not privy to, you know, where they might find, you know, candidate B is the best option for them rather than candidate A in our mind.
So to summarize a little bit of what you said, you were sorting through the candidates, right? So the HR department, instead of them sorting through a bunch of resumes, you're helping to sort through that and determine a small subset of candidates that are presented to the company. Mm-hmm. Good. Now, one thing that can be a problem with this is if the candidate that you interact with finds out who the hiring company is and then decides to apply directly with the company in addition to working with the staffing agency, that becomes a problem, right?
It does. So what we, what all of our recruiters do at Profiles is, you know, we suggest, we strongly, highly suggest that, you know, if they're going to check out the website, which we recommend, you know, if they're not familiar with the company already, check out the website, see what they're doing, you know, make sure you're interested in this position. Let me know if you are, and we'll present you over after we've, you know, checked off several other boxes. But if you're going to look on their website and you look at their job board, in case they do have the position posted, please don't apply, because they've asked us as you know, experts in our area of marketing and creative to be the ones to sort through candidates and resumes and present the best of the best. So we usually are telling our candidates, you know, if you trust us and if you trust our process and trust our relationship with our client based on what we've been able to tell you about our client, you know, then let us run with this. You know, and just trust us. You know, we're trying to make this happen for our client, but also for a really good candidate.
Right. And if a candidate does do this duplication of submitting directly, it just creates confusion.
It does.
It doesn't help the process. It doesn't help them stand out and win the offer. So it doesn't help the candidate in any way to go around the staffing agency once they've engaged the staffing agency. Mm-hmm. So something important to remember is once you've engaged the staffing agency with a particular company for a particular assignment, stay with the staffing agency on that particular assignment for that position. Mm-hmm. Okay. So going into the types of candidates that Profiles is now looking for to place at companies or clients, they're generally creative. So they're copywriting positions, graphic design, art direction, user experience positions, more general marketing positions, even some web development positions, mm-hmm. Some communications positions, and even I saw some analytics jobs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that a good summary of...
That is a great summary. We cover everything from marketing, the digital and the traditional. We get into communications and PR, and communications is internal and external communications. We get into the creative side, which is graphic design and art direction, and then copywriting. We do some technical writing even. And then with that creative side, we are getting more and more into, you know, the more technical side of creative, which is heading into web and mobile, which is going to involve UX and UI, front-end development. And then from a marketing technical standpoint, we're getting into marketing analytics, or we have been in marketing analytics for a while. So we're really covering, you know, a great spectrum. And everyone that gets hired as a recruiter at Profiles gets all trained up, you know, on the positions. But the best way we learn about these positions is really talking to the candidate. So that's our goal. We want to learn more about our industry and our niche through the candidates and their experiences and what they do.
So that's a good point. So in the conversations that you have with the people you meet who are potential candidates for these positions, you're trying to get insight from them on what they do and how you can understand their roles better. So you're getting some education by those conversations with the candidates.
Yes. Even lately, with one of our clients, we've been asked to work on some positions that are just a tiny bit outside of our wheelhouse. And recruiting on them, you know, we take the responsibilities, the requirements, try to find the people, try to get people interested in speaking with us. And, you know, you just can't be afraid. You know, I'm not afraid to say, you know, I'm kind of just now starting to work on a position like this. Please tell me what you do. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we want to help someone get a job. I mean, that's sort of personally from my standpoint, like, you know, I love helping people get a job that they love. And then we want to help our clients, obviously.
Okay. So let's get into a little more specific advice around preparing for applying for jobs. So one of the basic things is a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work on a resume, and there's some kind of do's and don'ts around resumes. So Claire, what advice do you have on the structure and content of a resume?
Sure. So the best resumes that we see are those that are just simple, to the point, you know, that top two-thirds of the resume, it's prime real estate, really. So you want to put, you know, your best information up top. It needs to be relevant, though. It needs to be of the time. You know, what I'm going to say is most resumes that I would prefer to see, I know my coworkers would prefer to see, I know our clients would prefer to see, are those that are in chronological order from most recent position or the current position you're in to, you know, then moving backwards. Having education at the bottom, you know, we want to see a month and a year for every single position because we're looking at gaps. We need to explain gaps, which a gap isn't bad. It really isn't. It's just we need to be transparent is what it comes down to. So moving back on topic to the resume, we want to see chronological. We want to see clean and simple. Keep it black and white. What I'll say is, you know, don't do any funny formatting. There's formatting for resumes in Word and in other programs. You know, don't create your own boxes, stuff like that. I only say that because staffing agencies are using an applicant tracking system, an ATS, that scans resumes to get them into our program so that we can easily search the candidates by keywords. And if a resume has too much going on, we can't read it, we're not seeing your resume. So keep it simple. Keep it, you know, formatted very, you know, simply. Fonts, don't go crazy with fonts, you know, bold or italicized for emphasis, but that's it, you know. And we want to see, like I said before, the month and the year. And then we also want to see, you know, company name, your title there. We do want to see bullets of your responsibilities or your role there or a description. If the company you worked for isn't well known, put a little summary of the company so that we know what it is. You know, what we're often looking for are agency people. And, you know, I don't know an agency in Dallas, Texas. So, you know, maybe put, you know, this is an agency in Dallas, Texas. You know, that would be a good, that'd be some extra effort to get you to the next step. And then skills, you know, in creative and marketing, certifications and technical skills or platforms or programs that you use are super important. We're combing through these resumes really fast and kind of just making sure we see certain platforms or certain certifications. And if you don't have it, sometimes you might get skipped over just with the speed of how staffing goes. So So that's kind of everything with what we would like to see.
Right. That's good information. So, right. I've run into that as well as on the description of a company. If the company name isn't a well-known company, writing a short statement below the company name explaining what that company does or what industry it's in or what do they do, what mm-hmm. products they make, if it's a product company and so on. So, right. That's very helpful to give some context. And then on the skills, Right. The creative world these days, there's a lot of tools that we use in marketing and in creative roles. So understanding certifications or experience with tools is helpful and important to call those things out on your resume. I've used a summary statement at the top where I've tailored that to some of the statements in the job description. So as I look through the job description of what people are looking for, I will address that in a summary statement in a way that is kind of like the functional format, right? So you stated you like the chronological format, and that's the much more popular format. But there's this other format of a functional resume. And for functional resumes, you identify a skill and then back that up with your experience related to that skill. But now you can do that a little more concisely in the summary statement where you address the skills you have or the experience you have in a few sentences in a summary statement at the top of your resume. Is that a good way to do it?
Yes. So thanks for bringing up the summary. Yeah, we would love to see a summary. We want to see how you, you know, how you describe your background. It doesn't need to be super lengthy, but and it doesn't need to be an objective. It doesn't need to be, you know, I'm this and that, and this is what I'm looking for. It can just be literally a summary of your background. Like, I'm a digital marketing professional with, you know, 5 years experience, and I'm certified in Google Analytics and you know, have worked in an agency and corporate environment. You know, that's what we want to see. It can be a little bit more detailed than that, but that's
right.
kind of the
that's
gist of what we're seeing.
Right. That's
yeah.
a general idea. Mm-hmm. And if you've received any awards, you can mention that up
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
You know, so any of the things that you think, one, are your proudest moments, two, line up with the job, that's a good place to put it. And as you said, the top half or so of your resume is prime real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, get that message across. At the top. Very good. I've run across from some experience with a website called theladders.com, and I've seen this guy, his name is Mark Sandella, theladders.com, and he put together a resume guide, and there's a 2018 resume guide. You can buy it Kindle format on Amazon for $5, and for $5 it's well worth looking at that. So if you want some current tips from an organization that knows what they're talking about, the Ladders has a lot of great information on their site. If you're looking for tips and advice, the Ladders is a very good source for that. But Claire, I, as you're the one seeing this, you've told me about some resume mistakes that people have made. And one of the worst is putting a picture of yourself on your resume.
Yes. You know, that's great. Great shot. Great headshot. But we don't need to see, you know, we don't need to see a picture. We don't need to see a glamour shot. We're going to hop on LinkedIn anyway and look you up. So is the hiring manager of an employer. So we don't need your picture. We want your resume to be clear and concise and to the point. And it's got to be based around your skill set and what you've done in your experience, your work experience.
So let's contrast that a little bit with LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
So you put your picture on LinkedIn, and I got on LinkedIn in 2005, a long, long time ago. And for the first, I think, 2 or 3 years, I didn't have a picture of myself on LinkedIn because I saw it as a resume. And you don't put your picture on a resume. Why would you put it on LinkedIn? But then I finally got over that and put my picture on LinkedIn, and now it is very much expected to have a somewhat current picture of you on LinkedIn. So what do you look for on LinkedIn? What do you, you know, we talked about the resume. What would you like to see people present in LinkedIn that's helpful?
So for LinkedIn, yes, put a picture. We want to see you just because we want to know you're a human being, really. So we don't want to see your cat or dog. Other things we'd like to see on LinkedIn, you know, organizations you're a part of, if you're a part of some professional networking organizations, or you do a lot of volunteer, you know, it kind of goes to, which I know we're going to hop to this topic, but, you know, interviewing also, like hiring managers and we as recruiters want to know, are you invested in what you're doing? are you really interested in what you're doing? Do you want to keep pursuing this? So if you are part of, you know, as a marketing professional, the American Marketing Association, we want to know that. We want to know if you're a board member. We want to know if you've won an Addy for advertising. We want to see your awards and certifications. And we want to see your honors and I guess awards and honors are together, but awards and honors, certifications, right. Organizations you belong to, volunteer even. You know, we're not hyper-focused on a lot of that stuff, but it helps. It you know, it can stick out in someone's mind like, oh, you know, that person is part of the ad club. So am I. You know, I've been to those events and I might try to reach out to them and meet them in person.
Right. Yeah. Get some insight there. And then with LinkedIn these days, you can link to a website. So if you've done some website work and you want to promote that, or you have a blog that you want to promote, you can link to that. Or if you've written something, there's a document, you know, a thesis or something, you can link to that. So there's examples that you can provide of your work that can be found through LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We love to see like portfolio links through LinkedIn. So definitely post them.
Good. Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk about doing portfolios and what kind of examples of your work that you're looking for or the employer's looking for. So if you're in one of these creative roles, say copywriting, some examples of your copywriting. If you're in graphic design, some examples of your graphic design. Generally speaking, when you interact with your clients, the employers, what are they looking for?
First, what I'll say is we want to see these portfolios online. Just because you have your book, I can't see it. You know, I can't see it as we're talking on the phone. I can see it when we meet in person, but we want to see that up front. That's part of the reason why an employer or a client, you know, uses a staffing agency is because we're kind of moving through the process quickly. So we want to see all these online. You know, and what I'll mention is, you know, for copywriting or for communications or for marketing collateral development or for graphic design or art direction, Behance.net is free and an easy setup, and you can organize it really easily. It's Behance, B as in boy, E-H-A-N-C-E.net. Everyone that is, you know, creating some sort of collateral of you know, whether it's design or marketing or copywriting, definitely throw your samples up there. And yes, some employers don't let you use your work that you've done for them. You know, what I can say is that that does, you know, stink, but it happens.
Well, this is a good reason to do some side projects,
mm-hmm,
right?
Have
some side projects that are yours, you own, you can share and show people. So this is another good reason to have side projects that can be publicly shown to people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good. Well, that's good. Let's move on to when it comes time for the interview, it's important to do your homework. I've had people walk in as a hiring manager. I've had people walk in and haven't done their homework.
Mm-hmm.
And that sends a really bad signal. So when it's time for you to go in for an interview, make sure you've done some homework on the company and, if you can, the people that you're going to meet. I've looked them up in LinkedIn to understand who these people are, what their backgrounds are, what they're proud of in their LinkedIn profiles. Do you have some advice on doing your homework and the background research before you go in for an interview?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first, like you said, is hop on the website of the company, make sure you know what they do, make sure you know what product or service they offer. You know, see if they've been in the news lately, see if there's been any like big changes, you know, that's going to be like groundbreaking or like might be brought up in your interview. And then also, yes, you know, you should know who you're interviewing with. So definitely look them up on LinkedIn. Working with a recruiter, we are, you know, at Profiles, we are helping you, I'm going to say stalk,
right,
the company and the people you're interviewing with, just because it's important. You know, you might have a connection with the hiring manager. You guys might have gone to the same school, undergrad, might have been the same year even, you know, and that might be an important connection that you don't know about, but the hiring manager knows about because they've seen your resume. So it might kind of take some pressure off because you'll know who these people are once you sit down with them. You know what they look like. You know what to expect with, you know, their background and what kind of questions they might come with.
Good. Yes. That's good, helpful information. And now one of the tricky things is, what do you wear to a job interview? Back 20 years ago, and I'm dating myself here, particularly in Virginia, you would wear a suit and tie and there's no question about it. These days, there's times where you don't even wear a tie. You might wear a jacket. You know, what's your advice on how to figure out what do you wear to a job interview?
Mm-hmm. So if you are applying for a position, whether it's through a staffing agency or not, you should be in contact with someone if you got the interview. Definitely inquire about what that company culture looks like. You know, there's a client that we have where they are casual all the time, wearing jeans, maybe even wearing shorts in the summer. So you want to find out, what is this company culture? Should I be wearing a full suit? Should I even be wearing a tie? If I don't wear a tie, should I wear a jacket? You know, can I wear jeans?
Right. Pay attention to what you're wearing, and does it look right? And it doesn't hurt to have somebody else take a look at what you're wearing and
before
give you
walk out the door. And smell you. Don't wear too much cologne or perfume.
Right. Right. That can be a big turnoff. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Good. Good advice. Mm-hmm. Any other insights on wardrobe or preparation for the interview
back to preparation, actually, this is important, and this is something that I've encountered. Make sure you're printing out copies of your resume. Just because a hiring manager has your resume doesn't mean they're coming to the interview with it printed out. In fact, they're probably running to your interview because they've just finished up a meeting and running behind. So do print copies of your resume. You know, I say, like, you know, if you know you're meeting with one person, take two. If you think you're meeting with three, take four. You know, take one extra, one that you can have, or one you can just, like, an extra you can leave behind. So definitely take your resume. That's super important. If you are in any one of these skill sets, like design, do take your portfolio. Do take a tablet or your laptop, and be prepared to show your portfolio. I mean, that's the whole reason you're interviewing for that position. So do take the portfolio. The last thing I'll recommend is prepare questions for your interview. Questions around the job, the department, the people you'll be working with, the clients you might be working with, other business partners, what's expected of you in that position. And always ask at the end what next steps are. It shows you're interested and it gets them thinking. They might be able to share with you. The client might be able to share with you, you know, oh, I want to have you meet so-and-so. Or sometimes we've heard, oh, we want you on our team. You'll get an offer from us soon, or you'll hear from us soon. So you never know what that question might lead to, and it might make your day.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Claire, we're running out of time, so let's come up with a few things at the end here, and then we got to wrap things up. So anything you want to revisit or add to or expand on?
Sure. Actually, you know, with resume, with building out your resume and knowing what to put on and what to leave off, a few other things I'll mention not to put on your resume. You can leave off your GPA. We're okay. We don't need to know your GPA. You know, I said definitely put your education on there, but leave the GPA off. The other thing I'll mention is, just because we're, you know, for what I recruit on, we're working with a lot of creative professionals, leave silly nicknames off of your resume. I don't want to see Steffeezy Breezy or anything like that. I want your first and last name, and that's about it. So
Right. Stay very professional. Mm-hmm. Have a professional email address, not some funny email address about your pet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Keep a professional presentation in all of this. There's a place to be creative, and that's your portfolio. The resume is not necessarily the place to be creative. Be kind mm-hmm. of structured and normal in your resume and show your creative style in the portfolio. And what about including on the resume any social media links like your Instagram account, Facebook account? Any advice on whether that's appropriate or not appropriate to tell them where your social media accounts are?
Sure. So actually, LinkedIn you can include on your resume. Honestly, working with a staffing agency, we mask your personal information, like your address and any links, except if it's a portfolio or LinkedIn is fine. We won't mask a LinkedIn profile. Say if a designer has their Instagram link or their handle on there, we might leave that on because we've checked it out and it's really of their work, additional evidence of their work. So we, you know, if that's the case, leave it on there. But for the most part, leave your Facebook off unless it's a business profile, I guess, related to the job you're applying for. Leave your Twitter off. Leave the Instagram off. Leave what else?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, there's Snapchat and other stuff.
Yeah, Snapchat.
So one more thing, and this is can be a very important thing, and we want to touch on it before we close out here, is thank you notes. So you've gone in, you've had an interview, you've met with people. Traditionally, you would write a handwritten thank you note for every single person you talk to and get that delivered as fast as possible to those people. You can, you know, walk away from the interview, write it down, walk back to a receptionist and give it to the receptionist right then and there. That's a great way to do it. Or you can go off, write it, and then put it in the mail and get it there through the mail. But don't wait more than 24 hours to mm-hmm. put it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So any tips around thank you notes?
Sure. I would say while you're in the middle of that interview process, I would recommend email. You know, if you have the email address, send it off. Have someone else proofread it before you send it. And these thank you notes only need to be about 2 to 3 sentences. You don't need to divulge your whole history again. You should have done that in the interview, or not your whole history, but the relevant history. 2 to 3 sentences. Working with a staffing agency, time is of the essence. So you need to get, it's recommended we get thank you notes over in 24 hours. I think, you know, I grew up writing handwritten notes. That will be a great touch once you get hired. You know, if you get hired in the position, go for the written thank you notes, place them on your new hiring manager's desk. You know, it's a great, you know, like, thank you. This really meant a lot to me.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm showing my age and my conditioning for my mother when I grew up to do these things as handwritten. But yes, mm-hmm. these days, email is fine. Mm-hmm. There's no problem with doing an email thank you note.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great. All right, Claire, thank you. I think we've run out of time, but I think we've covered a lot of really good information here to share with people. Do you feel good about it?
I feel really good. I hope this was helpful.
Good, good. Thank you. All right, let's wrap this thing up. To our audience, you have been listening to the Agency Work Podcast. My guest today has been Claire Cederholm from Profiles. We have been talking about applying for jobs, preparing for interviews, resumes, and a lot of other stuff. To learn more about Profiles, go online to careerprofiles.com, so careerprofiles.com, and you can learn more about the company Profiles that Claire works for. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Parker.
To our audience, thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a new guest, and I hope you will tune into that episode. This podcast was recorded at Red Amp Audio in Richmond, Virginia. This is Agency Work, signing off.